again. I'm stuck with a valuable friend. I'm happy, hope you're happy too. One flash of light, but no smoking pistol.
There you go. That should have you in the right frame of mind, perhaps, to be thinking about space travel.
Weekend Explorer on ABC Perth.
Hello, Chris Parry.
G'day, Ro. How are you?
Good. You look excited about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I came in, you asked, you know, where was the prop? Why didn't I dress like an astronaut?
Yeah, I fully expect that it'd be a space helmet or something.
I did wear a shirt that's got an Indigenous print on it, which reminds me of Vincent van Gogh's Starry, Starry Night.
Okay, yeah, I'll pass that.
It's got that swirly nighttime thing, so that was the thought going into it.
A little bit more discreet.
A little bit more subtle.
Subtle. Yep. Yeah, that's exactly what we want.
To infinity and beyond!
That's where we're going this morning, isn't it?
Yeah. Would you go into space?
No.
Yeah?
I am a scaredy cat with anything like that. I don't enjoy flying.
Okay.
I don't enjoy flying on an aeroplane, you know? So the thought of getting in a...
Going that far.
Yeah, that going that far, not knowing if I'm going to make it back.
I'm not sure either. There's just no atmosphere. Did you get that?
No, I didn't actually... Lucky you paused because it, yeah.
Paused for effect.
For effect, and I needed it because I just missed your punchline.
Your face was blanker than a canvas before the brush goes on it.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about whether I was going to ask you if you were a believer in terms of man going to the moon.
Yeah,
but then I was like, do we want to open that can of worms?
Let's get serious. Oh, you got that one.
Oh, dear. Chris.
Yes.
Space travel.
Yeah, look...
Were you around for Skylab?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, I'm a boy of the 70s. So yeah. 1979, we were all looking up.
Yeah.
And not knowing what was going to happen. It was real, you know, Chicken Little stuff. You know, skies falling in. And I want people to call in a message in with their recollection of what it was like that night.
Yeah.
You know, every news broadcast was... At one stage, they thought it was going to land in Cornwall in England, and the decaying orbit was changing where they thought it would land, you know, every couple of hours.
Yeah.
And we ended up getting it in our backyard.
That's really crazy.
How sensational.
Do you know,
that?
I was born after, so I'll give myself that excuse, and just not entirely across it, but I'm pretty sure it was Yuri Yarkin that did an incredible play called called Skylab.
Yep.
And I went along to that and I was like, oh, I feel like I really missed out on something.
Yep. Yeah, the feel of that, you know, the palpable energy of following the news for that event. But going back even further, you know, our connection with the space story, space exploration here in WA, with being known as the City of Light.
We've played important roles in big moments.
And even though, you know, it sort of pops the bubble a bit to realise, I think that what John Glenn actually saw was the Kwinana complex at night and not people putting sheets in their clotheslines with dolphin torches underneath. But he still saw us.
Oh, don't be so cynical. You know what? We should take a listen to ABC's Jim Bonner speaking to Phil Arlich, the WA SES coordinator. I'm pretty sure this was the night that Skylab, everyone as you described, was keeping their eyes out.
We've seen about uncounted numbers, say somewhere between 50 and 100 pieces carrying on a northeasterly direction from here.
How high did it look to be up in the sky?
Your guess is as good as mine, but it would probably be, well, anywhere to 50,000 feet. We wouldn't know. We had nothing to compare it with.
How big were these pieces, would you say?
Oh, quite bright lights in the sky.
And did they take long to pass over?
No, they were passing over fairly quickly. I would say a minute and a half and they'd be out of sight.
Were there long streaks of light in the sky?
There was a sonic boom here also. The boom came about 3 minutes behind the light.
Similar to your recollection, Chris?
Yeah, yeah. I can remember the radio being on and the TV being on and then, you know, the newspapers for the next few days as people were scouring, you know, out through Balladonia and Esperance and finding pieces that are now in the Esperance Museum. This goes beyond just looking up and gazing at the stars. This is tangible stuff. Mm. So there are oxygen tanks, there are circuit boards, there's insulation foam, there's nitrogen spheres, there's alien body parts, there's all sorts of stuff that they found.
Yeah, and this is the important bit for Weekend Explorer, I suppose. Unfortunately, yep. No, we haven't got a time machine yet to jump in and go back to that night and do that as our tour activities. But there's so many places you can go for these big moments and immerse yourself in what happened and what it was like at the time and experiences that people had or still good places right now to be captivated by what's up there in the big dark sky.
So to complete the Skylab story, you've got the Esperance Museum where there are very tangible pieces of this laboratory that was in space for 6 or 7 years or more. Balladonia, similarly, has got an exhibition there. Mm-hmm. They've got replica pieces of Skylab, but they've got really good news reports. You know, if you're travelling on the Nullarbor and you pull into Balladonia Roadhouse, the last thing you're expecting is a museum exhibition on Skylab. But you can also read about the phone conversation that President Jimmy Carter made to the manager of the Balladonia Roadhouse to apologise for Skylab falling on his place. I think it's wonderful stuff.
Very good. If you've been to any of those places and, of course, your Skylab memories, you're welcome to share them with us, 1300 222 720. You can also send us a text, 0437 922 720. And if there's any other locations where space junk and other bits and pieces have landed that we might not know about and you want to share, we'd love to hear about those this morning as well.
Look, there's a few other places that are very tangible in WA, like the Gravity Discovery Centre in Gingin. So that's a great place to go out to. Maybe pick a country town close by and stay for the night. They've got a cosmology gallery, a solar system walk. They've got classes called Tame Your Telescope. So a lot of people buy that big telescope thinking they can just take the lens off and look up at the stars, and doesn't work as easily as that. But they also have Aboriginal astronomy nights that guide you through the cosmos from the lens of a culture that's been looking up at our night sky for thousands of years.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty special experience. I haven't done it myself and would really love to.
And an easy drive from Perth as well.
Yep. One to keep the kids entertained. What else have we got in terms of museums around the state?
Look, we're taking in the Gascoyne, aren't
we? We are broadcasting to the Gascoyne.
So Carnarvon.
You get in trouble if you don't give them a mention.
Going, you better give us a mention here. They've got a big dish. They've got a dish as big as the one in the dish on the other side of Australia. And they've got a space and technology museum. And I know Ebony was a bit upset about the timing of us doing this story because she actually met an astronaut.
Yeah, that's right.
Buzz Aldrin was in Carnarvon in 2012 to open the Space and Technology Museum, and she interviewed him and spoke to him, and she said to Buzz, you know, what would it take for me to be an astronaut? And he said, study hard. And obviously she didn't.
She would have been finished her study by the time she was up. That would have been when she was a green journo working for ABC Northwest and would have headed down there, I'm sure. That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah,
it's a shame we can't talk to her about her meeting.
Yeah, And that museum, it's got a manned, it's got an Apollo capsule that you can get in, and it jumps around like as if you're taking off on top of a Saturn rocket. It celebrates our manned space missions. It's got more bits of Skylab as well, so there's a bit of Skylab around WA.
You'd say it was sprinkled a little bit for everyone. If you've been to Carnarvon Space and Technology Museum or even the Gravity Discovery Centre at Gingin, let us know what you thought of it, what your family thought. Would you recommend it to others?
And there's something about, you know, looking up at that big dish and thinking about the signals that it's received and that it's putting out, and maybe one day someone will answer on the other end. You never know.
You never know. That's exactly it. What about the Perth Planetarium?
Perth Planetarium, right here in City West, a lot of people would be familiar driving past at night. They've actually fixed all the light globes in that domey bit at the top. Now, it looks really impressive. It's one of the largest in the world, and you can lie back and enjoy a celestial show as a surround cinematic experience. And the great thing about it, it's got really good wheelchair accessibility as well. That's a really good one just for sitting back and watching the stars in a cinematic environment.
Peter, of course, on the text 0437 922 720, has reminded us that NASA, of course, were fined for littering. Do you remember how much they were fined?
$400.
That would have really stung.
Yeah, I think it was the Shire, local Shire, sent them the fine for aspirants. They never paid it, and then I believe there was a radio station in America picked up the story and thought that the Shire of Esperance was serious and needed the money, so they had a fundraising drive.
Bless.
And sent them a giant check for $400.
That's so very good. Kev writes, hi, what about the guy who flew to the USA to collect his prize for finding a piece?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, he did too. I don't remember what the prize was, but
no.
Yeah. I think it was a little strategy by NASA to try and collect as much of the pieces as possible.
Get it back.
To offer it, yeah.
Kev, if you know what he got in return for finding that piece, please continue the story or just give us a call, 1300 222 720. What have you got else for space travel and space places, Chris Parry?
What about just east of Perth here in Bickley? We've got the Perth Observatory. So it's 120 years old, but still got really, really good eyesight. And they have photography workshops. We've just missed it for Valentine's Day, but pencil it in for next year. They do Valentine's night sky tours. And they have star parties with real stars as well. Oh. But really worth going to. Make that over maybe consecutive weekends. Do the observatory and do the Gingin Gravity Discovery Centre as well. Have a bit of fun and learn a little bit about what we're always looking up at.
All right. What about our towns that are the... And maybe I'll throw this out to the listeners. You can tell us the towns that you would recommend for those dark sky spaces. And this is going to be a hot topic over the next few months and building. I think it's the last weekend in April.
20th of April up at Exmouth. There's a total eclipse of the heart, and Bonnie Tyler's going to be up there. forgot you, didn't I? A total eclipse of the sun.
Somewhat predictable, but it's okay. You didn't come in your space suit, so you're not entirely predictable, Chris Barry.
It's a total eclipse of the sun, and I think the shadow passes right down that bit of the coast.
Yeah, so should be incredible.
The most spectacular place on earth to watch it.
Don't try and get accommodation. Don't try and get an Airbnb.
I think it's on at about 20 past 11 in the morning, 11-ish, something like that. So a nice time. A lot of these things we get told about when there are meteor showers or some satellite passing overhead. It's 3 in the morning. Try
how
and get
badly
the kids up for that one.
Do you want to see it?
Do you remember Halley's Comet?
Yeah.
And how you could only see it sort of peripherally. You had to look away from it. And at the corner of your eye, it'd see
smidge. I must admit, there's... we've got a text. From memory, the price for a Skylab piece was 10 grand.
Wow.
Gee, I would have been taking it over too.
Imagine 10 grand then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But cover your airfare well and truly.
Well and truly.
You'd be lucky now.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
What were we just talking about? Halley's Comet. Yeah. Mm. And that's it. How much you want to be part of these big events, you know, that it might need you
telescope.
To get out of bed. Yeah. At ghastly hours to participate.
But getting back to those towns, it's a tourism strategy here in WA. It's called astrotourism. It's
seriously?
It's one of the biggest, fastest growing travel trends in WA. And it's about looking up and connecting with our involvement, with space. And it's creating welcoming dark sky spaces, if you like.
Mm.
So it also puts you not too far away again from that local motel. So it gets people out to a town and supporting local communities as well.
I can smell a countermeal.
Yep. So once you've had your countermeal, you can go out to those dark sky spaces that are being set up by towns.
Okay.
I'll run through a few that are officially listed as astro-tourism towns. And we'll start with Onslow.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bindoon, Carnarvon, Carnarvon, Darkin, Lake Grace, Wickapen, and a little one called Three Springs.
Yeah, all the good spots. Centres of the universe, really, aren't they?
Three Springs is an astro-tourism town.
Not surprised at all.
How cool is that?
All good things happen in Three Springs.
Yeah.
So I think
it's a wonderful opportunity that for these towns yet again to try and capture a market.
Yeah.
To get people out there looking up. And I know from my little town growing up and going to the Narrogin Drive in at night. Narrogin. Look, if the film wasn't to my liking, and I can remember distinctly doing this one night, just looking up and counting shooting stars. Just for a couple of hours. It's a wonderful thing. Those night skies are so much more brilliant once we get out of the City of Light.
Yeah, beautiful. I believe he was expecting 10K. The ABC did a doco on him recently. He was quite a celebrity when he got there. And Ross in Australind has said it was Stan Thornton, I'm sorry, from Esperance. And, yes, the prize was 10 grand.
Wow, that's considerable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Running. Grab whatever junk you can and take it over there and get your 10K for it. Not too bad at all. Not too bad at all. What else have we missed in this conversation, Chris
Perry?
Well,
I think we've missed some of the sites around WA where you can look up as well.
Yep.
And the way you can do it. So I posted last night. Unfortunately, we couldn't get anything on ABC, but it's a Starlapse taken by a wonderful guy here in WA by the name of Dan Paris. And it's like a slow-mo video, Starlapse, of a night sky at Mount Augustus.
Okay.
And absolutely gorgeous just to watch as the sun's disappeared and then that rotating of everything, I guess the Earth and, the orbit and everything, just wonderful to watch. And there are a lot of classes available to do it these days to learn how to do Starlapse, but wonderful sites in WA for stargazing and filming in a Starlapse capacity. So the Pinnacles is a wonderful one. So you've got the silhouette of the Pinnacles while the stars sort of rotate through. Lake Ballard, north of Kalgoorlie, or should we say West Menzies. Lucky Bay down at Esperance, Dale's Gorge in Carrageenie, Wooleen Station in the Murchison, and Wave Rock in Hyden, which is great because there are no flies at night.
We take for granted how much access to dark sky we have, don't we? And the ability to see the stars, the Milky Way, see it so clearly at certain times and certain nights. And, it's just such a
And it does
treat.
Take your breath away when you do get the opportunities to travel and find yourself looking up and I think, my God, I haven't seen that before.
Yeah, yeah.
We get lulled into it in the city.
Yep. And, beautiful night camping and
away
from street lights.
And it's not just that there's more. They feel closer as well. And as you say, that brightness of the Milky Way. And I'm only just learning now and I'm really keen to get out to the observatory, to the Gravity Discovery Centre and do the Aboriginal Astronomy Night because I'm only just learning about this stuff and I hadn't heard about the emu in the sky until this year and I want to learn more about that and what the sky looked like to Aboriginal people all those years ago. So opportunities to re-engage with our night sky that we look up at is there right now.
Chris has texted us. I think you may have pinched his punchline earlier, but Rowanna, a space joke for you. I went to a restaurant on the moon. It was terrible. No atmosphere.
Yeah.
Good on you, Chris. you're as bad as this Chris sitting opposite me, but it's okay because I'm generally, when I'm switched on, a good audience for dad jokes. They tickle my fancy. Angie in Busso says, what an amazing opportunity for farm stations and owners to diversify their business. I hope government tourism is supporting them.
What a great
to
idea.
Do it.
Yeah, I mean, the astro tourism that I'm aware of is about towns so supporting this. But what a great idea for other markets as well. We mentioned sort of Wooleen Station, but there's certainly a lot of opportunities there for people to get out and engage and be looked after while they're there to have a camping ground or other facilities as well. Good idea.
Why are we weekend exploring space?
Look, for me, it's one of the most inspiring reasons to explore down here on Earth. There are so many opportunities to connect to our own iconic stories, City of Light and Skylab and the tangibleness of the dish and those sorts of things, to find fallen space stations. And wherever we are, we can look up at the stars, but just like great explorers, go somewhere and just find a better view.
It's as simple as that. Amanda asks, yes, she says, sorry, may have missed it. Isn't the lunar eclipse happening on the 20th of April? It is indeed, which we mentioned. The Gascoigne, the hot spot to get the best vantage point for that one.
Yep.
For that one. Exmouth and that sort of region. Talked about the impact that's having on tourism and businesses and the local economy there. Cyril has given us a call. We've got about 2 minutes, less than that, in fact, but I'd love to talk to him. Cyril, hello to you.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Tell us about your role when the Skylab event happened, Cyril.
Well, I was a reporter on the West Australian at the time, and we were told that Skylab was likely to land anywhere in the world, and I was I knocked off that night and was on standby. We thought, yeah, well, that's a laugh. And somebody rang through and... my chief of staff rang through and said, it's landed north of Esperance. Get yourself out to Jandakot Airport. There's a plane waiting.
Wow.
And we got out there. The fog came in and closed the airport. We couldn't take off. And we got some wonderful descriptions of it. One of the most picturesque, I thought, was a fellow in Esperance who said, it looked like a block of flats, horizontal, flying across the sky.
Horizontal block of flats. I love it.
Yeah. But what's probably forgotten is there was a Miss World competition on at the time at the old entertainment centre, and the world's media was out there to cover it, including all the American press, and the stage collapsed. And this was a great photo opportunity, but all the photographers made immediately for the airport to cover the Skylab story and forgot all about the Miss Universe.
Cyril, you've timed that absolutely to perfection in terms of your memories of that. We're going to have to leave it there because the good old ABC News, it waits for no one. Chris Parry, what a reflection. Thank you.
Wonderful. And a quick shout out to Laika, the first dog in space. Laika is Russian for barking.
Chris, go away, go away. Sabrina Hahn's making her way in Roots and Shoots, coming your way on the other side. It's 9 o'clock.